Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
And good evening and welcome aboard to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 272 shows this evening and counting. And we're going to keep moving on because the animals out there need our voices and our support to make them have better lives and futures because they so well deserve. I just want to go over a couple things before we get started here. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, www.ppjg.me. And you could, on the right-hand column, you could follow my podcast from there. Just press follow, and every time there's a new article or podcast, it will be you'll be alerted in your primary email. And also on the bottom of each article, you can share the radio promos or any article on there to any social media site. I want to give a huge thank you to Marty Oakley out there, TS Radio Network. I did 163 shows on her network, being a host, and it was awesome. And so I went on my own, and she helped me, and we're still friends to this day. And she's a hard worker getting her voices out there. All her shows are very hot topics, and she's out there, you know, doing her best to make the awareness out there. So try and listen to her sometime. Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network. She has all kinds of shows going on through the week. I used to be a co-host for her on elder abuse, guardianship abuse, nursing home neglect and abuse. So on the elder abuse assigned, we could lead a lot more voices out there, everyone, because we're all going to become the elderly if God's willing, and it's not a pretty picture out there for them. And I wanted to bring up, had a wonderful animal advocate and animal rescue, Patty Mansfield. She passed away the other day. And wanted to give thoughts and prayers out to her family and friends out there because I know they're going through a tough time. And heaven has just gained another awesome angel out there. She was a great advocate out there for the animals, and she's surely going to be missed, everyone. Patty Mansfield. So I did have a post on my timeline the other day for her. And so if you'd like, visit. She has a page on there, and I give her condolences and sympathy because it was sad. But anyway, my name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Voices Carry for Animals. And it's always an honor and a pleasure, and it just helping the animals out on this platform. I know I've seen a lot of victories come through. Can't take credit, but I am involved. And when we do, every effort out there counts. And the social media sites out there, you know, that I'm on, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, you know, I try to get, you know, share as much information or take an action as I possibly can. So if you could do also press that share button or on Twitter retweet, whatever you need to do, because the more voices and action takers out there, the better for the animals. So we want to see them have, live in comfort and peace and happiness and free from abuse and neglect and torture, exploitation. There's every issue out there from every angle. And I stand up for all the animals in need and distress. And 272 shows tonight and counting, because I'm not going to stop. We're going to keep on going out there, but I wanted to bring my guest on and welcome her back. Her name is Shauna Shurick. She is the president and founder of Wildwood Farm Sanctuary, and I want to welcome her on board again because she did Voices Carry for Animals number 255, that show, and she did an awesome interview and bringing her back. How are you this evening, Shauna? Welcome back. This is such an honor and a pleasure. How are you? You're live and on the air.
I'm doing great, Debbie. Thank you so much for inviting me back. I had a really great time the last time, and I was just honored to be asked back again. So thank you. I'm doing wonderful.
Hey, you're so very welcome, And like I said earlier, I always have you back. There's no limits on how many, times I have guests on, because the more exposure, the better. And the more, get on the air and, getting the word out and seeing what progress there is. And because we can't give up, because if we give up, we automatically lose. And everyone, all these shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So listen and share 24/7. Just go to...
Great.
That's awesome. Go to Blog Talk Radio and search Voices Carry for Animals. But go ahead, Sean, and tell us, refresh, the audience on how you got started.
Oh, okay. Yes. So I actually got started pretty early on in life. The sanctuary, Wildwood Farm Sanctuary, is on our family property, which we have two farms. One was bought in the 1930s, and the other one, which the sanctuary is on, was bought in 1958-59. And so I actually grew up in Portland for about 10 years, but I spent most of my childhood in the summers out here at the farm. I still call it the farm because it's our family farm. So my parents, once they get out of school come June, they would ship me off to the country help on that family farm. And I just fell in love with everything about the country, farm animals, farm living. And so when September rolled around and I had to go back to school, it was really, really difficult because I loved being out here with nature and the animals. And so went back to Portland. So when I was about 12 years old, my family moved out into our own little piece of property, about 7 or 8 acres, and I had a horse and we had some chickens, and I would still in the summertime head back out to the farm to help out there. So I really have been around animals most of my life, mostly farm animals, and so I got to learn to appreciate how wonderful they are and watch them be born and live naturally out on the farm. I just really loved cows. We had cows out here. We didn't have a lot of cows to begin with, but my grandparents always had cows and chickens. So once I got out of high school, I kind of started looking around and I thought I wanted to be a veterinarian. And to be honest, my grades probably weren't that good to get into vet school. I was really bummed about that. I should have planned that better, but I knew I still wanted to work with animals. So I began, while I was looking for a career choice with working for animals, I did some volunteer work. I volunteered at an animal shelter in town, and I spent a lot of time doing that and had some odd jobs here and there. And then I realized there was a profession called a veterinary technician. I was kind of checking things out at the local college. And so I thought, okay, that's what I want to do. And I love taking care of animals. I love helping them, nursing probably better than the medical part of it, like the surgery and all that. But I just knew that I wanted to care for animals, so I enrolled in veterinary technician school, and that was a 3-year program, really, really, really difficult program. It's not what you think. It's, you know, veterinary technicians are basically nurses for animals, and we do everything. We're a dental hygienist, we're x-ray, we're lab, we're anesthesiologist. And so once I got through that program, I began working at a wonderful veterinary hospital here in town, and that was in 1994.
Wow.
It shows how long I've been doing this. It's over 25 years now, and I've been at the same veterinary hospital, and I love it. And what drew me to this particular veterinary hospital was I had interned there, and we did a lot of large animal work, farm animals, and I just was really intrigued. I'm like, okay, this is, I really found where I want to be, and I love working with farm animals and dogs and cats. So while working there, I really got a sense of even more how unique farm animals are, because we would see them when they were hurt or injured, and you know, they'd be scared and pain. So we'd be working with cows, chickens, and lots of goats and sheep. And then we'd also be working with cats, dogs, and some smaller animals. And so I was in a unique position to see how I always knew this, but in a veterinary setting, see how similar our domestic dogs and cats are with farm animals. They may look a little bit bigger, a little different, but you know, we would work with farm animals and dogs and cats, and they have the same, they're scared. You know, cows would come in, they're scared just like the dogs were that you bring in through the front door. We'd have a sheep come in that was injured and, you know, in pain. And so I really got to see how there's no difference, even though humans, people tend to treat farm animals and compared to dogs and cats very different. There's no difference, maybe just the size. So it really led me to want to do more advocating for farm animals. And obviously there's not, you know, farm animal, well, there's a lot more shelters now, but back in the 90s, I never heard of a farm animal sanctuary. Maybe, you know, these cruelty cases that would happen, there was nowhere for farm animals to go, like hoarding cases, seizure cases for a flock of sheep, or, you know, they would just end up getting euthanized. And so I had done a little bit of other work, working in wildlife rehab, and that's a whole different story. I became a licensed wildlife rehab, and that, you know, that was great. But I just really had an interest in veterinary medicine with farm animals. And so I had the chance to move back onto our family farm about 10 years ago. And I moved onto the side with about 100 acres. And so I started out, I want to take some chickens in. Oh, you know, I heard about some chickens that need a rescue. And so it really started out just very small, but I really saw that there was a need for farm animals, a place for them to go. And so I thought, well, okay, I have experience working as in veterinary medicine for a long time, and how can I best use those skills and my knowledge to do good? And so that's basically how Wildwood started. Wildwood became a thing in about 2012, and then we applied for nonprofit status and received that 501c3 status in 2014. And since then, we've just continued to grow and grow and expand. So that's how we started out, and we're still going. So.
This is fantastic. I mean, because we were talking earlier, we need positivity in this world today with all the negative stuff going on and the craziness, and just to hear good stories and, you know, victories. It's uplifting, you know, inspirational. And what they're doing there, I was looking through your, you know, the photos on your Facebook page and everything, and they're so uplifting and so, you know, heartfelt with these animals, these cows and roosters. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the list goes on, you know, coming, getting close with them. And they build in trust with, you know, within humans. And when the people open their hearts up to, you know, let that bond happen, it's magical. And you could, you know, just like your pets at home, you know, you get your furry loved ones, you get close with them, you communicate with them, you talk to them, you know, pet them and spend time. And it's awesome. It's so, you know, no matter what kind of day you have, you know, if it's good or bad. Hey, if it's a bad day, it'll turn good. Go around your pets, you know. So
right.
it'll get you to laugh or do something.
Right, right. And they all have their personalities. And some days they're not happy all the time. Sometimes they're a little
right.
down. And sometimes they have their good days and bad days. And people are really surprised when I tell them that farm animals have their own personalities. They know their names. And I tell people, I mean, society is different now. There are a lot of family farms. I grew up on the family farm, and most people nowadays haven't had that chance. So their connection with a farm animal, maybe even just be through TV or passing by a big dairy farm or passing by a chicken farm, or they just see farm animals. And it's like anything, if you don't make a connection with the animals, you're not going to understand them. And you make a connection with your dog and cat when you come home, you have that connection, so you understand that. You wouldn't want to see them hurt. You wouldn't want to see them in pain. But people have lost that connection, that connection with all animals, like farm animals. So, and that's one thing we really try to do out here, is bring people out here to connect with farm animals. And I've met people that they've never even been around a cow or a chicken. And to me, that's surprising, because that's not how I was raised. I was always raised around farm animals. And so to me, that's surprising. But then it's an education to me that, oh, this is an important job. This is why we're here. We are here to help rescue farm animals, but also have people make those connections to put that seed in their mind that, wow, this cow, Ferd, you know, he knows his name. I'll call his name. And so, you know, it's just getting people back to knowing, getting familiar with other animals. So, but it's been much different since COVID, and that's a huge, many sanctuaries are struggling right now, is because we right now are running on just minimal volunteer staff. We're all volunteer run. We have no paid staff, but we used to have open public volunteer days every other Sundays, and we haven't been able to do that. And so we've been scrambling for more help, and we haven't been able to do tours out here or have people come out and meet the animals. And so we've had to rely a little bit more on online pictures or tours, things like that. But it's really, really, it's been hard. It's been really difficult. So even with our fundraising out here, we usually have a big bingo event every year, and we probably won't even be able to do that. So it's really, really changed. COVID has really changed everything. So, and the animals are affected too. So
and that's the sad part. You know, this year 2020 has been something else. I mean, all this, mm-hmm. you know, bad news, and it's just, and we got to do what we need to do, you know, to make it better, because, I mean, so many changes. And when I was talking earlier, you know, we can't out forget about these animals and put them on the back burner, because, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. they need us too. They're the voices. It's like children and mm-hmm. elderly, and we're all on this mm-hmm. earth temporarily, and we got to make the best of it. So we can't mm-hmm. give up. And because if we give up, we automatically lose. You know, there's so mm-hmm. much. And COVID-19 is very serious, and we have to take it serious. Mm-hmm. And even mm-hmm. wherever we go or whatever we do, but we got to think about, you know, these animals too, because mm-hmm. the problems out there today, we don't want to see them get worse and, you know, escalate. And then we've got more problems than we ever thought we had. You know, so then they're so innocent, you know, defenseless, helpless, and they have no clue what COVID is, and they will never know what COVID is, you know, so we have to do what we have, you know, we can't, you know, stop on social media with, you know, helping them out. You know, I have, I'm an admin on several pages and groups, you know, Voices Care for Animals on Facebook support. And I constantly keep, you know, bringing awareness up, because we can't not just ignore it and close our eyes and say, okay, let's put all our attention on COVID. You know, well, we got to mm-hmm. take, you know, pay attention to COVID. but we also have to pay attention to these other issues where the animals in distress and need us, and keep making
right.
it better, because life goes on no matter what. I mean, hopefully tomorrow
right.
will be here, and then a week from now, and heading on to 2021, you know, so, you know, this 21st century, we can always make, you know, positive moves. Positive results lead into positive victories. And I keep seeing victories coming through, Shauna, and it's great. It's a great feeling, positive, you know.
Well,
so.
Also, you know, with COVID, there's a lot of people that are at home now. And so I think COVID's a terrible, terrible thing. I think we can also use COVID to maybe step back and just reassess things. And we have to slow down, and we have to look around and see what areas we can improve. And so with that extra time, people are possibly online a little more because they can't go out. And so actually the internet and pages like yours or Wildwood's page is a way they can connect. So maybe they're able to spend a little bit more time to learn about animals and the issues. So, and it's great with the podcast that more people are at home, just taking it easy and slowing down. And, but yeah, the animals, you know, are like the animals here at Wildwood, they don't care that there's a pandemic. They don't care,
right.
You know, they need to be taken care of. And, but many sanctuaries, we've had to make adjustments, and it can be kind of scary. And I don't see the COVID going away anytime soon. And I think even somebody told me that this, you know, the face mask wearing and all the precautions may even go into the fall of 2021. So that's for a long haul. So things are changing, and it's good to be prepared. We've, you know, we definitely are prepared for, well, not completely prepared, not for a pandemic, but for emergency situations like this. And just, but it, we've had to really pull back on, you know, projects here being done at the sanctuary. And, you know, we, last year at this time, we were having big dinners out here, or we had wonderful establishments raising money for us. Veggie Grill would do a couple fundraisers for us every year. So everybody would go to Veggie Grill on a Friday night, raise money for Wildwood. And we also, every year, we have a wonderful, it's a movie showing to raise money. We can't even do that because the theaters aren't open. So it's kind of scary. It's kind of readjusting. And but the animals are there, but it's our way. We need to find creative ways of still caring for them. And that may be just more online contact. All of our fundraisers are online now, so we can't do anything here at the sanctuary. We can't have anything at a restaurant or a business. And so it's a little bit scary, but we're doing okay. We're doing okay. So, but we have great volunteers. And you know, we wear a mask, and we stay 6 feet or more apart, and it is a little bit easier here on our property to do that. You know, somebody can go clean the hen house, and somebody can go clean out our cattle barn and be, you know, by themselves. But it's just, COVID's really changed everything, and it's a lot of, you know, the sanctuaries are coming together now and having to kind of hash this out about how we're going to, if we're going to reopen, you know, sanctuaries, or what are we going to do? I know some have reopened. We're being pretty cautious. We, you know, we only have essential volunteers out, but we don't have any plans to reopen for tours or anything else right now until things change. So, and that's sad. And we love seeing people out here, and we love educating the public. And we also give nature tours in our conservancy. And I really miss doing that. I really miss connecting with the public, and it just, so everything's very different.
Oh, yes, it is. And we will make it through this, you know, just keep the faith and let the fear disappear. You know, that's what mm-hmm. we got to think positive, and things will change for the better. And, you know, mm-hmm. hopefully everything gets back to normal by the year 2050. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
I don't have to wait that long. I'm gonna run out of
at the doctor's office one day, and everybody's eyes lit up. Everybody's, oh, what? Everybody has a basketball. They're like, what? That, you know how far away that is?
right. Well, I don't know. The future's uncertain, but we will get through it, and we need to, like you talked about, take care of humans and animals. And this is the time to step back and just slow down. And, you know, we've kind of seen the worst of – if you watch too much Facebook like I do, you see a lot of bad things, a lot of the worst of humanity coming out. But what I've seen mostly is people coming together. And we can focus a little bit more on important issues while we're at home. And how can we help animals? How can we support sanctuaries? What can we do for animals in need out there? So I think there's a positive, somewhat of a positive side to COVID and people being at home. They can reflect a little bit more on how to be more, you know, resourcefulness, or they're learning. So I've gotten back to reading books. I mean, I used to be an avid reader and reading animal books. And so I've really been trying to do a lot of that, listen to podcasts. And I love podcasts. And, you know, I'm still really, really busy running around errands and taking care of the animals. So I'll just put my headphones in and listen to an awesome podcast like yours. But, it's just different.
Yep, I mean, I'm just like this radio platform. I'm going to keep going. You know, I'm not going to give up. And because, you know, this radio platform, it encourages people to take action, you know, be a positive impact in this world, not a negative one. Because if we close our eyes or ears or mouths, then nothing changes. Mm-hmm. So once I always believe in teamwork all the way. I mean, that is so important, you know, with everything. You know, coming together, and it takes it and teamwork in every business or anything out there. So the stronger the team, the faster the changes. You
right.
Know, positive
I,
results
I totally
for
agree.
The animals.
I totally and we, agree. And it is, this is a time to come together. And I've seen a lot of that happening in the sanctuary world, which is great. There are some sanctuaries out there really struggling, and other sanctuaries that are doing a little bit better are really reaching out to smaller sanctuaries and helping. And that's really, really important, is to support each other, because if you don't support each other in the sanctuary world or anywhere in the animal advocacy world, the animals are going to suffer. And if people, you know, if they get egos involved.
Right. And there's no sense in it.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's not a time to, you know, attack each other. We want to really work together. And so, you know, animals have always put a smile on my face, and I go down to the barn in the morning and they're happily waiting there for me, and they're wanting their breakfast, and they're very routine. And so even if, you know, if I'm really stressed about things going on in the world, it does help to settle into the routine with them of feeding, taking care of them, being with them. And I have told people many times since starting Wildwood, I haven't had a lot of time to, and this is bad, but sit with one of our animals or a group of the animals and just enjoy being with them. And because I've gotten so busy that I cherish those moments now when I can just stop and maybe have to reorganize my thoughts and get stressed about COVID or whatever else is going on in the world, is to sit out in one of our pastures with Ferd, our steer, or Oren, one of our goats, and just sit there with them. We have an incredible, wonderful goat named Bowie, and I don't think I have, you know, a picture of him, but he has these incredible horns, just massive, massive horns. And, you know, I'll go out there and they walk up to me, Bowie will, and he'll just start scratching, rubbing his head on me, just like a dog or a cat would. And he's like, hey, good to see you this morning. And he wants to spend time. And so just slowing down and being with the animals and, you know, remembering why we're doing what we're doing. So it's just easy to get caught up in life and things happening, but just get that recharging battery of just spending time with them, or having one of our battery cage hens, rescued battery cage hens, you know, jump on my lap and want to be petted. That's amazing. And people laugh, or they can't believe that chickens like to be petted or cuddled, but I'll walk out into the hen enclosure where those rescue battery cage hens are, and they'll come up to me and tap me on the back of my leg, tap, 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 tap. And I'm like, well, who's that? Oh, okay, what are you doing? And then I'll turn back to you, and then they come back up and tap, tap. Well, she wants to be held, and she's letting me know.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah. And the tapping gets a little bit harder if I'm not paying attention, like, hey, I'm here. And so to be able to stop what I'm doing, sit down with her, our rescue battery cage hens, and just, you know, be with them because they want to be loved. And also it helps me and other volunteers to stop and realize why we're doing what we're doing, not to get so caught up in keeping things, you know, perfect and running around and just, it's really the connection with the animals, because that's how I grew up out here, was spending time in the fields with those cows or with those chickens on the farm. And that's what made me feel good and made me be on my path of my career path or the sanctuary path. And so it's important to stop and be with the animals because they want your attention too. So the farm animals want your attention just as much as your dogs and cats do. So it's important to spend time with
them. They got feelings, you know, they're very smart. They're just like us, except they speak in another language. You know, they want to be cared for and petted and loved and talked to. Also, fairly, right? I mean, it's just amazing, you know, how we can communicate with them, and they get close to us, and they have their feelings, their thoughts, and they feel pain just like we do. If they're not feeling good, you know, you could tell. So
yes, definitely,
we have to be their protectors. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I have to tell you, it's interesting you say that because so some of our cows are out in a pasture kind of down by the road that runs in front of our house, and Tilly is one of our rescued heifers, and so she recognizes my car way before I even turn into the driveway. So I'll pull in and go down the main road that's along our pasture, and she'll look up and she'll look at my car coming down the road and pulling into the driveway after I've gotten work. So she knows it's the sound of the car. She knows I'm driving it, and she doesn't do that for any other car. And she'll start mooing and she'll run up to the pasture, and I haven't even gotten out of the car yet. So people say, "Oh, my dog and cat, or my dog and cat." They, you know, hear, they recognize the sound of my car pulling in the driveway, and they're standing there at the screen door. Well, I can tell you, many farm animals will do that too. They recognize you. They recognize your car. And we have my uncle Don, who is our farm manager, who currently lives at the house on our other farm across the road. He has many tractors, and he helps us around the sanctuary here. And he drives this little red Ford tractor. Our cows know that tractor, and they know that tractor, recognize that tractor, because my Uncle Don always will bring them goodies like corn stalks or freshly baled hay, and they will recognize the sound of his tractor all the way across our orchard, which is probably like over 5 acres, hear him coming down before I even know he's on his way over here, and start mooing. And I'm like, what is going on? What are they upset about? What are the cows looking at? Well, they recognize my uncle's tractor and the sound of it, and they know that he's bringing them goodies. So they are very smart.
That is,
and
so
they
adorable.
Love him. They love him. And or he'll just walk over and want to check on things over here. And I'm like, why are all the cows over at the moo? They recognize people, and they remember people. And just like other animals that love getting treats and recognize people that give them those treats, farm animals do the same thing. It's amazing to watch their bonds with people. So I'm fortunate I get to see that. And we try to, you know, hopefully other people that come out here can experience the same thing, but it's truly amazing. I mean, it shouldn't be amazing because farm animals, all animals are the same. They have the same feelings, the same desires. So it shouldn't be that surprising that our heifer Tilly recognizes my car coming down the road and starts mooing and waiting for me. That shouldn't be a surprise, but to many people it is. So.
Oh, this is wonderful. I mean, just hearing this and this, you know, getting, and you're right there front lines with them. I mean, close with them, and they trust you, and they love being around you, and love hearing that tractor coming. You know, they, just like the pets, they love them treats.
They you know, do. So. Their favorite treats are corn. So we grow, my uncle grows corn in his small garden, and they love those corn stalks. And it is the craziest thing to see, but we throw them all out there in the cow pasture, and they'll take them and start. So they're funny. So there'll be corn left on these corn stalks sometimes, and the cows will actually grab a hold of the corn stalk with the corn and start twirling the corn stalk around to try to break off that ear of corn that is still on there. It's the funniest, and they'll smash it up and down and spin it around until that ear of corn has finally come loose of that corn stalk, because that's the main thing they want. So they love it, and we have special hay for them that they'll bring over to them, and they actually love toys. We will blow up a big giant bouncy red ball and we'll put it in their pasture, and they get really excited about that. Our cows do. They'll start chasing the ball all around the pasture. It's like one of those big blow up balls for horses, and they'll jump on it and they'll toss it around with their horns. And so they love toys. They love to play with things too. So, we like to give them a lot of enrichment and keep them occupied. Our pastures are pretty big, so they're usually out grazing, but they love new and unique things, so they get really excited.
Oh, that is so inspirational right there. I mean, just knowing that, you know, they're happy, the way they should be, living out there and making other animal friends and, you know, with humans, and that's the life mm-hmm. they all should live. I mean, just enjoying
right.
life, you know, not free from fear and anxiety, and seeing peace
mm-hmm.
and comfort and love,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, care. That is so important in their lives. You know,
mm-hmm.
just like us
mm-hmm.
humans, that's what we want too. We want to be treated fairly and live in peace and happiness and love and care. And, you know, there's a lot of them out there that don't. And that's what our
mm-hmm.
goal is, to, you know,
mm-hmm.
see more animals live happily ever after for their whole
mm-hmm.
lives. They so well
mm-hmm.
deserve. They're so innocent, Shauna, and you know, defenseless and helpless and voiceless. And so they're relying on us to make sure they have a good life while they're on this earth. And I've seen those photos on the Facebook, and if you could give out your website to the audience out there, and if anybody wants to call in and speak with Shauna, you're more than welcome. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background. TVs, radios, conversations, you're more than welcome to call in and, you know, express yourself, how you feel. Because the more voices for these animals, the better, and the more exposure and attention they get. Because what they're doing out here at the Wildwood Farm Sanctuary out in Newburgh, Oregon is awesome, Shauna. It is so uplifting and so inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for
you.
Everything that you're doing. I mean, it's so impressive. You're bringing the positive impact into this world, you know, hope and faith and love and care, you know. So, but if anybody wants to call in, I will be taking calls, area code. And it's the same phone number every week. You could listen to this show by phone or internet, everyone. So all you new listeners, you know, welcome aboard. I hope you keep coming back, spreading the word. All you returning listeners, thank you for all your support.
Yeah.
Area code 310-982-4270. Press 1 in the queue, and I will let you in. And just, you know, like I said, try to refrain from any noises in the background. Try to put yourself in a soundproof booth. Blog Talk Radio Brick. It always brings up all these noises and stuff sometimes. So we got to, because we want, you know, our voices to be heard out there. You know, so, and if you're coming in late, you can always go back to any of these shows and listen to them, even on the PPJ Gazette, Marty Oakley's website, on the search bar on the right-hand side. Just, you know, put in their Voices Cared for Animals, and it'll pop up all these links. So just press which one you want to hear. Press the arrow. Wait a minute to download, and it will play. And you can, you know, share and listen 24/7, so you don't have to rush. They'll always be there. 272 shows and counting.
Wow.
So we're going to get to, just celebrate the 6-year anniversary there, Shauna. June. So,
wow.
You know, it was wonderful. I looked, I was like, wow, 6 years already. And standing
right.
up, speaking up for all the animals in need. So, and amazing,
right.
all these amazing guests, you know, callers, and thanking all the listeners. You know, so you can even use Skype to call in anybody, and you can listen in worldwide. I've had guests
wow.
from all over the United States of America. Thank you, former guests, and some countries, Paris, England,
wow.
UK.
Wow.
Yeah. So they had to call in like 2 o'clock in the morning on the, because of the time
right.
zone, 1. But
let's
but,
just set their
you know,
alarm.
They got
oh,
on. I said, if you fall, if I hear you snore, then it's okay. I'll just, you know.
Right, right. Go somewhere very quiet where nobody's going to bother you. Go hide the bathroom with your pajamas on and call in or listen. There's nothing wrong
yeah.
with that.
That's right. But I can't thank them enough, you know, of making this show a total success. And when I give up, you know, so here we go. And we got a caller there, Shauna.
Hi, great.
We got a caller, area code 719. Hello, I know who this is, the Mama Cat. How are you doing, Mama Cat?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today, Deb?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. I've been searching for you. I put an APB out on you.
Yeah,
I said I got to look for that Mama Cat.
We got a storm getting ready to come through. I had to go secure the yard.
Oh, yeah, a storm? Be careful.
Ah,
you know.
You know, I got red shoes.
Yep. Because we're in hurricane season here in Florida, so we really don't have to worry about it until August or September. So you want to
well,
be one of them.
Where do you live that you have to prepare for the storm coming?
Colorado.
Oh, okay. So tornadoes, correct?
Well, we don't get a lot of tornadoes where exactly where I'm at, all the way around me, but we get a lot of, like, today we had, like, 5 storms all the way around us. We're kind of up against Pikes Peak, so we get missed by a lot of it, but we get... It was raining so hard you couldn't see past the end of the porch. A lot
oh, wow.
of lightning had strikes all the way around us. One of the transformers outside of my house got hit. So, you know,
oh,
you
yes.
got to be careful.
Right.
Not the time in the garden.
Well, we don't have, well, I can't say we don't have tornadoes here in Oregon, but over the last couple of years, we have had tornadoes, small funnel clouds, which is probably climate change, but it's the weather is definitely changing out here, and you know, it's getting a little drier, not as much snow, so our winters are getting warmer here. But I think I would be really freaked out if I saw a tornado. But we've had them over the last couple of years here in Oregon, and they do cause damage, and they seem to hit just small pockets, small areas, but it's scary. I can't even imagine having to live that way and prepare and just be on alert all the time. So that would be really, that's scary. So
she's
well,
a survivor
daughter.
of a tornado, Shauna. She sent me pictures
yeah.
and you would have
oh.
never thought she made it. It was a miracle she made it.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh.
Remember you sent those pictures to me, Ray? I was so happy that you made it through that.
Yeah,
whoa.
It was Memorial Day weekend. I was coming through Nebraska, leaving my daughter's house. She lives out there, and I got stuck between three tornadoes, and the hail was size of baseballs, and I was on the side of the road in my car. There's nowhere you can go. I mean, there's nothing out there. Because the hail just kept coming and coming and broke out. My windshield started just shattering. And I tried to climb into the back seat to get away because I knew if that windshield went out, that was the end of it.
Right.
But when I got into the back seat, it just down. I mean, it came so hard and so heavy that it busted out the windows in the car, and being beat head, and my whole body was black and blue. And
oh, my gosh. Wow.
I was praying. I mean, I was praying every prayer.
Oh.
I mean, I was screaming. I have a couple videos. Somehow I hit record on my phone. I don't know exactly. I mean, it was so crazy. And so I've got a 2 57-second clips. And it's so hard for me to listen to them because all I'm doing is screaming, praying and screaming. But luckily, the Lord was listening and He saved me, and somebody came. I called the police. I didn't know where the hell I was. I thought I was in Nebraska, but I was actually already in Colorado, and I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they found me, and, I mean, when that guy pulled up, I jumped into his arms. Just get me out of here. And he's like, just have a seat in your car. I was like, I am not getting back in that car. You're crazy.
I'm not getting in that car again. I'm sorry. That is, it's not funny. I understand. Maybe you can laugh about it now, but wow, I can't
I
can't. No way. People here in Oregon were, it's raining and it's blah, blah, blah. But I think it's pretty tame here compared to a lot of areas in the United States. So with our sanctuary, we're lucky we don't have to worry about that happening or the tornadoes. But, with us out here, we're more worried about fire now with just not a lot of rain happening. So fire is really scary. Our pastures start drying out this time of probably next month. Things start getting really dry out here, and we get kind of worried about that. We have fire extinguishers, and we're ready for anything to happen. But it's just so every area is different. But things are changing; the climate's changing, and so that's another thing we're having to adapt with. But I can't even imagine going through any kind of hail the size of a baseball. When we get hail in Oregon, it's tiny, and it's even scary then where, people slide off the road if it gets too bad. But I'm glad you're okay. That's really scary. So you can't
it
complain.
Is, and I'm glad you're alive there, Ray. And Shauna, former guest on the show several times, Community Cats United and everything. So she's out there multitasking. She's a great supporter of the show. And everything. Thank you so much, Ray, for all you do and the support for this show and everything. And keep up what you're doing. And her grandson and granddaughter helps her out. It's awesome. Go ahead.
My husband's in the background, and he's asking me who's on the show today because he hears me every week. And I told him it's a farm sanctuary. He says, absolutely not.
You got several for all of them. you can't show partiality.
He's funny.
They're all living animal beings.
He told me there's not enough room in this yard for a cow.
they take up a lot of space. Don't get any ideas, right? Well, I started out small here too. We started out with a few chickens, and actually our first big involvement with a rescue was back in, I believe it was 2012, it was the big Turlock hen rescue down in California. Farm Sanctuary took in a bunch of hens, basically an egg-laying farm, had shut down and left all their chickens to die. And so by that time it was discovered there were several thousand dead. Anyway, we started out very small. We took in, you know, 10, 12 chickens from that rescue. And, you know, you kind of just, you got to keep, you keep going. And, oh, there's so many animals that need rescuing that they'll always be in need. They'll always be in need. So, but if you can start out, I think you should get a cow. So just, you know.
I think you should too, Ray. You know, go visit one, talk, you know, communicate, and then you can have another friend, you know, furry friend.
People don't think about rescuing farm animals. I mean, I don't think it's something that, I think it's more in the open now, you know, with mm-hmm. people who eat meat versus people who don't, and it's coming more out to the forefront. How baby cows are taken from their mothers, and a lot of times mm-hmm. they're slaughtered, you know, so mm-hmm. that the mother will produce milk. I was raised on a dairy farm, and we never killed any babies, ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but the mega farms, everything's changed so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's one thing that, you know, out here on our farm, we had cows that we raised, and they had babies, and my grandparents did drink the milk, but the babies stayed with the moms, and, you know, they weren't killed, they weren't slaughtered, and they lived along with their moms. And so when I honestly thought, like many people, that's how all cows lived. That's how it was, that's how milk was made and or produced. And so when I got out more out in the real world, I was shocked to learn that that is not how dairy cows live. Maybe way back in the 30s, they didn't have these big mega dairy farms, but now they do, and the milk is produced that way. And I was shocked that the calves were taken away, and I had no idea. So it really opened my eyes up, and that is also another reason why we started Wildwood, is to bring in some of those rescued, those animals, and also tell people this is what's happening. This is where your milk is coming from. But I have to say, yeah, there's so many dairy alternatives now. I mean, even from 10 years ago, there was like soy milk. I can't drink soy milk because I'm allergic to it. But oatmeal, I mean, it's so different now. And there really is no reason to drink cow's milk. There's just no reason. I mean, we're the only species on the planet that takes another animal's milk and drinks it when we're adults. So... but I was like you. I grew up thinking all cows live that way, happy, free, with their babies, running, you know. It's very different, though.
It is. Very sad. You know, I thought they, you know, lived the way ours did. And the commercials mm-hmm. that they used for California Happy Cows, that's kind of how our cows were. You know, they mm-hmm. were in the field, and they had all their babies, and... You know, we didn't slaughter them, and we had names for every single one, and, you know, it was different. Now everybody's a number, and, you know, it's not the same.
Right, right. Well, they do say what the beginning of the animal agriculture industry started around in the 50s or the 60s. And so that whole farming way of life went away, and that's what's happening nowadays, is our grandparents have these family farms, and, you know, they pass away, and then the family either inherits them, and, you know, they don't want those family farms until they sell them. So people are losing that way of life and that way of knowing your farm animals, or how they grow, how they're raised. So it's very, very different. So, but that is one of our jobs, is to educate people about those issues. And it's not about shaming people, and it's not about making them feel bad, but just education, opening their eyes, and always giving people an alternative. Because I drank milk forever, you know, growing up into my 20s, and it was a natural part of how I was raised. So, and I think when people are given options of, you can't say, oh, don't drink milk, this is bad, or you're bad, people aren't going to respond that way. So if you educate them, give them other options, like try, there's oat milk, almond milk, rice milk. These are all great things. People, if they're given a choice, I believe most of the time they'll choose differently. So they just don't know.
Yes, and in Wisconsin, where I was raised, these mega farms come in and they put the small farmers out of business.
Exactly.
You know, they can compete with, you know, what the mega farms do, and they're a more caring farm system, the little farms, and they can't, they just can't compete. And so they sell off land. And you know, before you know it, the mega farms have all the land, and I mean, there's just nothing. There, it's just not like it was.
Right, right. And our farm has, people are surprised when I tell them that we have forests, we have wetlands, we have riparian areas, we have pastures, we have oak habitat, wildlife habitat, and they're surprised because, but this is how most farms were back in from the beginning, like in the 30s and 40s. There were different ecosystems, there were different areas on farms, and now people think of farms as just flat barren land, just a pasture, some barn, but that's not how it used to be. But that's what it's turned into, are these giant commercial farm agriculture, you know, farm animal agriculture businesses that just pollute the land and pollute everything and cut down the trees, deforestation. So people are surprised when we bring them out here and we show them how different our farm is, our sanctuary slash farm, all these different areas. This is how it used to be until modern animal agriculture took over. Very different. So,
have you ever seen these little farms that set up, like there's a place in Wisconsin called Mulberry Farm, and it's kind of like a zoo, not really a zoo. It's a farm set up like, you know, we used to have farms, and they have goats and chickens and cows and pigs and every kind of farm animal. And they have school trips that go there to see how they're actually raised, what their actual habitats are. And like you say, they have wetlands, they have forested areas, and it's like, you know, like how I remember farms being.
Right.
And it's really neat because the kids can go in and play with the goats, and, you know, it's set up really and, you know, it's trying to teach the kids that we don't have to eat these animals. We raise them. They're our pets. They all have names. Mm-hmm. They come, call them, you know. I think it's a great idea.
Right. I do, too, because
yes, it is.
Because I remember.
And ladies,
I
hate to interrupt you. We got a couple minutes left. I could talk all night about this on every show, you know.
Definitely.
But
let's keep going.
It's going to shut down, but there's a couple minutes. But, Shauna, thank you for coming back on, and you're always invited back. Looking forward to have you back on again. What another great show. I knew it would be. Amazing guest out there, everybody. Shauna Sherrick, president and founder of Wildwood Farm Sanctuary. Please visit her website and their Facebook page. See how what you can, you know, do, help them out, because these animals do need our help in one way or another. But and Mama Cat, Ray Bittner, thank you for calling in and being great support and everything. And keep up what you're doing. Tell Skylar and Allie I said hello and give them a big hug from me. That's her grandkids. And
I want
to thank you, all you guests, or I'm sorry, all you listeners for tuning in this evening, and hope you come back next week. Chantel Dossler, and she, another guest for the Sled Dogs, everybody, a voice for the unethically treated sled dogs in Canada. So she'll be joining us next week. She'll be her first time. Hope you join us 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific, listening worldwide, everyone. All shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So you just put Voices Carry for Animals in their search engine and all this, the links will pop up. Or you can visit blogtalkradio.com/Voices Carry for Animals. A big shout out to Take Action Help Ban Animal Gas Chambers, Megan Mason, Holly Smith. Thank you for promoting the show every week. Voices Care for Animals Support Group, all the admins for helping me out on that, because I can't always be there. The Paul's Call Show on Facebook, Fans of Animal Rights, thank you for all you do. Help fight the war against all animal cruelty today. Debbie Eisman and Evelyn Pendle, Voice for Animals on Facebook. Also, Paul's Across America on Facebook. Thank you all the supporters, the ones who get involved, my Facebook friends and followers, help promote the show. Pinterest followers, also LinkedIn and Twitter followers. Thank you, everyone. I hope you join in next week, 7 o'clock Eastern. Thank you, everyone. May God bless you all. Thank you so much, Shauna.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Mama Cat.